This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.
Alright, what's up everybody? Jack Maloney back with Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Proxies, and Basketball Network. Doing our special season preview podcast, our last one in the Cleveland Cavaliers, with my guy Ian Doherty, fresh off his new contract agreement. He's back with Friendly Bounce. So yeah, the Cavs obviously last year lost in the finals to the Golden State Warriors. They were 53-29, got the 2 seed in the East. All the main pieces are the same, but they kind of swapped out their role players. Kendrick Perkins, Mike Miller, Sean Marion, Brendan Haywood are all gone. And now they have Richard Jefferson, Mo Williams, some guy named Jared Cunningham, and Sasha Kahn, the old Kansas big man who's been playing overseas. So yeah, it's pretty much the same squad, but no Kyrie until sometime in December, maybe January. Shumpert's out until about the same time, so they're gonna be a little bit shorthanded, you know, to start. But like, do you think any team has a shot at taking the Eastern Conference crown from them? I mean, maybe like regular season, but beating them in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as the regular season goes, I mean, it could go like last year. I mean, without Kyrie, without some early, the Atlanta Hawks could do what they did, or somebody else could pop up and take the regular season crown. But as far as playoff goes, man, in the East, I'm really not sure if anybody can beat them. Maybe the Bulls, but I'm kind of worried about like how their defense is going to look and this new like up-tempo style with Hoiberg, and they've been pushing it a lot, and their offense is looking good, but the defense hasn't been as great. So I really don't know. At this point, I would say nobody's gonna beat them in the East. They're gonna get to the finals with LeBron, Love, Kyrie.
Yeah, I mean, like, we saw last year, they don't even have to be 100%. Like, they can still take care of business in the East. And I don't think that I don't think anyone in the East made a jump where I'm, like, worried. Like, I would be worried if I was the Cavs. I think the East is better, like, all around. But it's not like the Hawks got way better or the Wizards, the Heat, maybe, like if everything goes right for the Heat, or if everything goes right for the Bulls, they could maybe challenge them, but I just don't see it happening once they get to the playoffs, basically, as long as LeBron is healthy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm really interested to see them in this beginning of the year, though, without, Kyrie. And LeBron is, he's been having issues with his back.
Yeah.
So you don't really know how healthy he's going to be. I want to see how they, incorporate Kevin Love into being, kind of a go-to guy for this, very early part of the season. Hopefully they can, get him a role that is befitting of him, because like all through last year, through the regular season, playoffs, whatever, it always kind of felt like they were, sort of underutilizing Love, and obviously they were fine with having it didn't affect their offensive efficiency, but you always kind of wonder, like, how much better can they get if they do, get him on the elbow and kind of run the offense through him at times. So, this hopefully will be used as a good time for experimentation as far as how Kevin Love's used.
Yeah, and especially You got Kyrie out. You know, LeBron, if his back starts acting up, like, he's going to have to miss some games, and he might just take a break like he did last year. So, you know, we've seen Love is certainly capable of running an offense by himself like he did in Minnesota. And so it would be, like, I think LeBron would be fine with it, like, passing off some of that offensive burden, like, if Love can do it for, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night where Love is, like, the main guy on the floor. I think LeBron will be fine with that at this age, because, like, that was another thing I wanted to bring up with LeBron is, like, he's only 30, but, like, that dude has played so many minutes. Like, when do you think we start seeing, like, a decline from him? Because, like, age-wise, you would think it'd probably be, like, another, like, 4 or 5 years, but, like, the dude's played as many minutes as guys were playing by the time they were, like, 37, 38. Like, and how many more years do you think he has in him of, like, complete dominance where he's just clearly the best guy?
Man.
Like, I don't think it's that many.
I really don't know. Because, like, you see this with, like, great, like, amazing players all the time. Like, arguably best in the game. Like, they just kind of keep shifting their, like, how they play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the game never really passes them by. You know, you saw Jordan with it when he started going more back to the basket. Kobe was able to, I mean, Kobe's not an argument for his all time, but, like, the way he was able to extend his period of being considered one of, if not the best in the league. You see it with, you know, a guy like Tim Duncan. So, I mean, I really think LeBron's just going to be able to, you know, he's smart enough to know how to shift his game. And I'm not sure entirely where that goes. I guess that'd be, you know, more back to the basket stuff, post-ups, maybe become a four, or maybe he just become a passing point forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, yeah, I think he'll be able to shift, and that'll give him, you know, probably a couple more years than whatever we think he has left, you know.
Yeah.
But I do think he has started to decline already. Obviously, like, he was fantastic in the finals, and proved he's still the greatest in the world. But I mean, just looking at, like, how he plays the game, his production is still fantastic. But, you know, he's a lot less below the rim, and, you know, athletically explosive as he used to be. Well, maybe a better way to phrase it is he chooses not to.
Right.
Use his athleticism as much because he's trying to save his legs a little more.
Yeah, it definitely seems like he picks and chooses his spots when to, like, really explode on people. Like, I don't think it's like, even, like, on the fast breaks and stuff. Like, it doesn't seem like he goes all out like he would maybe, like, 3-4 years ago when he was, like, really trying to make a statement. And now that he's kind of, like, reached, you know, he's won titles, like, he's kind of secure in, like, his legacy or whatever. Like, we saw it last year when he sat out. Like, he doesn't really care about, you know, stats or, like, hitting certain benchmarks. Like, I mean, I'm sure he does in some way, but it's more important for him to be healthy. And if that means, like, he has to just basically sit out 2 weeks of the season, like, he's going to do it. And I think he'll do. I think for sure he does it again this year, maybe even multiple times. But I think that was a good point you made about him, you know, shifting his game. And I think that's where Love could be really helpful. In that, if you can make Love the focal point of the offense, where, I mean, without Kyrie, like, LeBron's probably going to be doing a lot of ball handling, like directing of traffic, and that'll just make it so much easier for him. If Love can be that main guy,
it's interesting. Like, talking about, like, LeBron, you know, giving up the ball a little bit more and, like, not controlling the offense as much. When, like, last year, last year it felt like we were, you know, or like the media, I guess, or bloggers were having, you know, virtually the same conversation. Like, you know, LeBron and Kyrie are kind of just have their hands all over this offense at all times and are just kind of isoing, doing whatever they want and controlling it and not really giving Kevin Love the ball. So, like, it'll be interesting to see if, like, they do actually change that this year. Because, like, I think David Blatt caught a lot of flack for that, but it was also on LeBron and Kyrie.
Right.
That, that Kevin Love wasn't getting maybe as many touches as could have within the offense to make him, you know, more of a focal point instead of just a spread shooter. So, but yeah, especially without Kyrie, I think that's more likely to happen.
Yeah, because we saw, like, we haven't really seen him, the Cavs, with just LeBron and Love, like, as the two main guys. Like, we saw it with LeBron and Kyrie when Love was out, but like, we haven't really seen this sort of pairing as, like, the two, like, potent offensive threats. And I think it's going to be really interesting because, like, it's one thing when you have LeBron and Kyrie, like, LeBron's more of, like, a four at this point in his career, but, like, can still handle the ball. Whereas, like, now Love's, I mean, he can stretch the floor as a four, but, like, your two most dominant players are basically both power forwards on the floor at the same time. Like, I think it's going to be really interesting to... They're so versatile that, of course, they can make it work. But I just think it's going to be really interesting to see, like, how they do it. Because, like, you know they're going to score points. It's LeBron and Kevin Love. They're going to be fine to an extent. But, like, I think it's just, like, how it works and, like, what the schemes they use and stuff is going to be pretty interesting to see. Because, like... I mean, Mo Williams is fine, but, like, at this point in his career, you don't really need him out there or want him out there doing too much with the ball, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's just kind of there because you don't want to play Dellavedova 35 minutes a night.
Yeah.
I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, to change gears, I guess. It's going to be nice for them to have Barishaw back as well.
Yeah, they'll provide some depth for front line.
Yeah.
I'm really actually kind of curious to see if Sasha Kahn gets any minutes and how he plays when he does. Because, like, he's been kind of killing it in the Chinese basketball league for, you know, a little while. And, like, everything that, like, you hear come out of there, like, other reporters that are better acquainted with that part of the basketball world, you know, and, all reports indicate, like, he apparently he's got some NBA talent. It can legitimately play basketball. Like, it's not just having his points inflated because it's in the Chinese Basketball Association. So, I'm really kind of strangely intrigued with how Sasha Kahn could potentially fit into this team.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him from Kansas, but, like, that's it. Like, I just completely forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's, like, he's 7 feet tall. Like, if he has, like, good, not even, like, he doesn't even have to be, like, a great athlete, but if he can just, like, be like a poor man's version of Mozgov. Like, I don't know. I feel like they could find use for him, especially, like, you kind of have to assume it'll be nice to have Barishaw back. Like, you can't bank on him playing 70-plus games for you. Like, and they don't really have anyone else. Like, it's Love, Tristan, Mozgov, and Barishaw, and then it's Khan. Like, that's it. I mean, I guess LeBron will play the four sometimes, so... That'll work out, but yeah, any injuries to the front line, and Khan is right in there. He's going to be getting minutes, so yeah, I like how we waited to do this podcast because we were waiting to see what Tristan was going to do, and then just, like, didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's there. We kind of know what he is at this point from
right.
the finals. He's still got a lot of potential, obviously. You know, he's like, what, 23, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, he's still got a lot of room to grow. Hopefully, for their sake, it can be on the defensive side of the ball. Help protect that rim more. But yeah, you know, he's Tristan. He's extremely valuable to this team.
Yeah.
As his contract shows.
Yeah, and he knows it's weird kind of like to get a role player making that much money. And like in some ways he is just a role player, like a great rebounder, but I mean he's so valuable to that team. It really is big to have him back because your front court's pretty thin if you don't have Tristan. Like you're relying on Varejao and Sasha Khan as your only backups, you know, without Thompson. And now to have, like, that big man rotation of Love, Mozgov, and Thompson is so strong.
Yeah.
Especially if they all stay healthy.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, like, three legitimate starters.
Right.
Or guys who've got, like, starter minutes all in one game. So
right.
it's... Yeah, that front right is tough to deal with. And they go big and just out-rebound everybody. It's crazy. Especially when you have, like, LeBron at the three.
Right. Yeah.
He's, like, such an incredible rebounder. Like, just those three guys hit the glass is just unreal. They don't give up much.
Yeah, I mean, like, LeBron could probably average double-digit rebounds if he felt like it.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron could probably average double-digit everything.
Yeah. All right. I think that's a good place to end. You got any final thoughts on the Cavs before we wrap things up?
Yeah, real quick, just shout-out Richard Jefferson. He's still out here dunking on people in 2015. So, yeah, go Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, he's only, like, 34 or something like that.
Really?
He 35. He just turned 35.
Okay. I don't know why that 1 year makes like that big of a difference to me. But I just went like, oh okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
No, but like he was a dude who I swear is like was almost 40. And apparently he's not.
I mean, I thought he fell off, like when he was in San Antonio I hated him, but you know, then he kinda caught back up in Dallas and
yeah.
played somewhere else and something, I forget. But yeah, he's still doing positive things on a basketball court. So.
Alright, that's a wrap on the Cavs. I'm Jack, my boy Ian. Here's our guy DJ Los Latino playing us out. Peace.
This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.